What you want to say?
So, well, yeah.
Let's have it from the very beginning that there are two groups of people,
all right,
who do this. Some people do it consciously and some people happen to have it unconsciously.
Okay.
The second group are my favorite one because they do not aim for that. They do not try for that. Mostly they have a gift from God that has given them.
Okay.
That whatever they say or whatever they do, they have been loved by other people.
Yeah.
And I will give you examples for that. And let me just talk about the first group.
Yeah, sure.
There are some other groups that I don't know if you had such classmates or not, but through the time that I studied, whether it be university or before that at a school or high school or whatever, there are some people who would love to be the dominating figure everywhere.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They do all in their power to get other people under their domination.
I understand.
This domination is awful.
Okay.
I hate it because it is...
fake?
It's fake and it's not in a good manner.
Yeah.
Mostly when people do something for a personal reason, it does not turn out to be a good thing.
Yeah.
But that's why I mentioned consciously and unconsciously.
Okay.
And there are some other people without doing anything. They are just loved by other people. And whatever they say, that will get into the core of your heart.
Yes.
So I guess this is a gift and a blessing that God gives you. And the other people who try to get into that through spending money, through buying people, through, I don't know, using unkind methods, those are fake and they're not going to dominate people. After all, their true face is going to be revealed.
Yeah. So you categorized them and yeah, then you told us the difference between the two groups. Well, let's discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
There's this heat for this discussion. We'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Youth Station. I'm Zainab and I have Asma with me and we're talking
about... Yes, welcome back.
We're talking about...
We're talking about ruling the heart.
Yes. Have you ever tried to please someone?
Please someone, based on my characteristics, I would say that I'm a person who many times would like to please people. I know this is not a good thing.
Okay.
But I do it out of kindness. I do not...
It's a good thing.
Which is, I guess, a good thing. I do it usually out of sympathy, out of kindness, out of, let's put it mere sympathy.
I don't think there's anyone on this earth who would not like to please others, not want others to be I don't have seen people who want others to be unhappy with them.
No, you know what you exactly see, pleasing people is not a good thing. But when you are loved by others, mm-hmm, this is a totally different thing, which is a good thing that everyone loves to have, you know?
Okay.
When I enter the house, I would love everyone to love me.
Okay.
When I go to school, I would love everyone to love me. This is a good thing. When you come to your work, you would love, everyone would be interested. I love the audience to love me. So
okay. This
is a thing that would happen to everyone.
It does happen, but I want to say, because as for many, many psychologists,
mm-hmm,
you can't please everyone.
Yes, of course.
Because you'll end up in a disastrous state,
yeah,
a disastrous mm-hmm mental state, because it's really impossible to please everyone around. As per Imam Ali alayhi salam, there will be a day in your favor and there will be a day against you.
Yeah.
Are you prepared for the day that's against mm-hmm you? I mean, I have not, all the hurts
yeah
I have had in my life, all the heartbreaks I have had in my life were because of my expectations, were because I didn't live this hadith before. I was not prepared for the day that was against me.
Yeah.
I have always been prepared for the day that was in my favor.
Yeah, I guess, see, Zainab, what we are talking about right now is mostly circling around the very fact that we do not have any disagreement in here, that we all love to be loved by others.
We all love to be loved by others.
Yes.
We all want to rule hearts.
Yes, we want to rule hearts.
So is it a good thing or a bad thing? We discussed that.
Yeah.
In what context it's a good thing, and in what context it's going to end to disastrous for you.
Yeah.
We talked about that. We said, like, you have to be ready for a day that's against you.
What happens that some people get to a point, reach a point, that they are loved by everyone, though we know that it is not very easy to be loved by everyone because, after all, you're a human being and chances that you might say something that is not pleasing to some people. That is going to hurt some people. So how is it that some people, that we have seen it in history and we have seen it in our narrations, that there are some creatures that they are loved by other people and they sort of rule the hearts of other people? Like Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, totally, as you consider them, they have been ruling the hearts.
Yes.
Now Imam Ali alayhi salam is the symbol of justice. So he might have said something that is not pleasing for too many people.
Yeah.
Still, deep down, even those people felt that he is ruling their heart as well.
Yeah, in the contemporary world, you take me back to Martyr Qasim Soleimani.
Yeah, that is very
who
true.
Who rules
yeah.
the hearts even today, who was loved when he was martyred. Many, many more people who didn't even know him. I mean, I wrote my first poem for him.
Yeah.
And I got to know him more after he was martyred, actually. So yes, people can rule hearts even when they're martyred or even when they don't exist.
So how they get it to that point?
It's because of sincerity. It's because of the submission to Allah, you know. When you submit yourself to human beings, they'll push you back so hard. They will punch on your face so hard.
Yes.
And not physically.
I know what you mean. A mental breakdown.
You will get so broken down because
spiritual
you're submitting
fall.
To people. You're submitting to people. And people are meant to forget things. Mm-hmm. When did you do things for me? Why? I didn't tell you to be kind with me.
Yeah, I didn't ask you to.
I didn't ask you to be. You'll actually get these answers from people. But what I'm trying to say over here is that
when you do something
to
for Allah,
even you remind me of one of the hadiths, Hadith Qudsi. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me the way of life. Give me some steps of the way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says him some steps, go this. I'll just shorten it up. He says one of the points you'll reach, you'll find a jewelry box. Go and just dig it up once, and then it's not none of your concern what happens with that box, and just move on your way. He goes and finds a jewelry box. He finds it that's very, very precious, and then he digs it up. Then he moves from that place, and he hears a sound. And then when he looks back, he sees that he dug that thing, but it came out again. Then when he goes back to Allah and asks the meaning, what was the meaning of this thing? What was the reason behind? He says that all those jewels were your good deeds, was your kindness. I want you to dig it up. Don't show off.
Don't look back.
I'm the one who's going to take it back again.
Yeah, that's very nice.
So because Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teach me the way of life.
Yeah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while teaching him the way of life, tells him, be kind, but don't express, I'm kind.
Don't have expectations. Do not look back every now and then to see that what
like
that person is going to do for you in return.
Do not expect for a return of price. Just dig it up.
Yeah, just
you
dig it
up. You did kindness and just forget it.
That was very beautiful, Zina.
I'm the one who's going to take that out.
Yeah.
And that was a jewel box. That was Allah subhanahu. You see, Martyr Qasim Soleimani never came to people and told them, see, I'm providing you the security. I'm the one who's providing you security on Arbaeen, or like, I'm the one who is this, who is that. Now, after he's martyred, you get to know how kind he had been.
How many things he have done.
I was just translating one of his very small, like I must say, a very small note. It was one of the soldiers from the same forces. He said that it was a rule in Syria, like whenever we would get these Takfiri forces would evacuate a house, mm-hmm. these will become the residential places for the resistance forces. In those houses, there were all facilities. The houses left vacant by the Takfiri forces. Yeah. And then I was going after Haji, and I was saying, where is Haji? Where is Haji? And then I saw Mata Kazimi there, Hadi Kazimi, and I told him, is Haji inside? He said that he is inside the house. He says, I went here and there. I looked everywhere. I found him nowhere. Then I came back and I told him, are you kidding me? He's not there. I didn't find him anywhere. So he tells him, do you see the tent in the yard? Tent erected in the yard, he's staying inside. And then he says, I was amazed. He could have used the house with all facilities, yeah. but then he was staying in a tent in the yard. Mm-hmm. And that was his command place. I mean, he was the head of the forces over there.
Yeah.
Not just, so he says he was so much concerned about the Sharia laws. He was so much...
not to break so any even little rule
little
that
rules,
has been
like
done
even,
by Allah.
Even like otherwise it said, everything is fair in love and war. Have you heard that?
Yeah,
it's so common.
Which is very beautiful.
But no, we see Mata Sulaimani is respecting all Sharia laws, all very, very minute, small, big things, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually. So that's how you will rule hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise
yes,
you can...
So
can
you mean that technically... obedience of Allah, being a true obedient of Allah, is going
submitting
to help you into that road where you reach the point that people...
He says, forget it.
Yeah.
Do it with sincerity. Yeah. Do it for him, basically.
In Persian language, we say that, do it and throw it in the river.
And we
and
say...
And Allah would give you the return.
We say, neki kar darya mein dal, which means do good and throw it in the river.
So the same as us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Right. Okay, so that's it, yeah. And it's very... truthfully put, that when you wish to get into the heart of people, you have to be truly the truthful obedient of Allah. And there is no other way for it. We see that there are many people who want to dominate other people, but they are doing that for personal reasons.
Yes.
These people are not going to find peace themselves, and they're not going to create any peace for other people. But those who have it unconsciously.
Yes.
But those who try for it, who have been truthful throughout
and
their lifetime.
And doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know? Actually expect reward from Allah. Don't expect reward from people. The more you expect reward from people, mm-hmm. you'll get hurt so bad, bad, that you can't even imagine to come out of that mental and emotional state. Since I've experienced all these things, I mean, I'm not saying these things today because I have been like this all the time. No, I have been trying to please people throughout my life, and I got so hurt. I got so much struck mentally. And then I came to know my husband talked to me seriously, and then told me, like, you know, even Allah says to his prophet in Quran, don't be so kind with them people. You did your job, that's okay. Then leave upon me. Don't be so kind.
Yeah, the rest
kind.
Is
so,
my know, duty.
Sometimes, is you have to submit
so
for Allah.
So lower down, what Zainab was trying to say is actually lower down your expectations, be truthful to Allah, do all the things you have to do as a real human, Muslim human being, and then Allah would reward you.
Exactly.
And the reward is going to be a domination of the heart. You are going to rule the heart of other creatures.
Yes, and with that, we're running out of time. Thank you so much,
like
Asma,
always,
for...
when we're together, we run out of time.
Thank you so much, Asma, for providing
thank
the summary. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us.
Mm-hmm.
Until another session, wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance cost. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They are growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. Thank you.
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you, and of course, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh.
Dear Sheikh, we have many, many narrations in Islam about the whole importance and the whole reward of sending salutations upon the Prophet and on his family. So many narrations, even to the extent that whenever the Prophet's name gets mentioned, we have to send salutation upon him and his family. So the question is, we know that this is a ibadah, it is an act of worship, but why do we have so many narrations about this specific act of worship? Because we have other acts of worship that has not been mentioned that much in riwayat. But then we have the whole act of sending salawat, and it has been mentioned extensively. Is there a reason behind this, dear Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that about the salutation and salawat for the noble Prophet Muhammad, as you mentioned, we have plenty of narrations of Ahlul Bayt about the priority of having these kind of worships and sending salutation to the noble Prophet Muhammad. And still, we have about other forms of the worships, many other narrations, you know, in the Hadith corpus. I do not want to go to the detail of that, but I want to say that we have, you know, about other forms of the worships, many other emphasis and encouragement from Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wassalam. But sometimes, maybe, if you want to understand that whether emphasis is more on which part of worship, we have to have some kind of comparative study and compare the, for example, narrations of Ahlul Bayt and to come to the clear understanding and conclusion.
Right.
Anyway, about the salawat and salutation of Noble Prophet Muhammad, first of all, we have the verse of Noble Quran, and of course, some other verse of Noble Quran talking about this issue. Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels sending salutation to the Noble Prophet Muhammad. And of course, the meaning of, you know, sending salawat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Noble Prophet Muhammad means sending blessing. And for angels, it has another interpretation. And salawat of people had another meaning. I want to say that they have some differences here. But talking about the salawat of people, when we send that to the Noble Prophet Muhammad, it's kind of prayer, dua. It's kind of prayer to the Noble Prophet Muhammad. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his blessing and mercy to the Noble Prophet Muhammad and his, of course, his pure progeny.
Right.
Because we, according to many narrations of Ahlul Bayt, you have to add Allahumma salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You, O Allah, send your salutation and your blessing to Noble Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny of Ahlul Bayt.
So there's even a correct way of sending these salutations.
Exactly. You have to have this kind of addition to that. In one interesting narration, Noble Prophet Muhammad said that أَوْلَ النَّاسِ بِيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا. If you, as much as salutation you send to me, I mean to the Noble Prophet Muhammad, you are more closer to Noble Prophet Muhammad. You consider to be a companion for the Noble Prophet Muhammad in heavens. And in other narrations, we have that As-salatu ala al-Nabi amhaqu lil-khataya min al-ma'i ila al-nar. You know, sending salutation to Noble Prophet Muhammad is you know, purifying you, purging you from all kind of evil and sins, like water to the fire. You see, when you pour water on fire,
it distinguishes,
yes.
Right.
And as if when you send salutation to Noble Prophet Muhammad, it purges you of your sins and your evil actions.
So it cleanses your soul, right?
Exactly.
Can we also take it to mean that it is also some sort of kafara, some sort of
compensation
for our sins?
Exactly.
Okay.
It is actually kind of compensation for your sin, as you mentioned that. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ عِتْقِ رِقَابٍ is much better than, you know, freeing a slave. You know, in that time, freeing a slave is kind of considered to be, one of the charities, one of the main charities over there. But this salutation is much important, you know, wanted to indicate the importance and priority of sending salutation to Noble Prophet Muhammad. I need to add this point to my dear esteemed brother and sister, my dear audience. When we say salutation and salawat to the Noble Prophet Muhammad, it means that not only verbal salutation, rather you have to, you know, understand what you're saying. I mean, by focus, you have to send the salutation to Noble Prophet Muhammad, and to practice what you say. It's kind of your action is very important here. When you send salawat to Noble Prophet Muhammad, first of all, you have to have kind of focus on that. Okay,
of course, tawajjuh.
Not to be mindless,
right?
Okay, and second, to accompany it with your action, to try to be righteous person, try to show and indicate the influence of salutation into your day-to-day life and activities.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. In Arabic, assalamu alaykum, with so many supplications in Ziyarat al-Ashura and so on and so forth, we say assalamu alaykum, and it literally means that I am peace towards you. It is not only a saying that we say, it is not only that, it also means practically you must be somebody who is silim, who is safety and peaceful towards the Imam, the Ahlul Bayt, a friend, an ally, and not an enemy. So
exactly.
It's the whole same thing with the salutations, I assume.
Exactly. This salawat and this salam, peace that we, you know, send to the Noble Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny, as I said, it has to indicate itself into your, you know, actions and behaviors.
Right.
Okay. For example, we have that وَجَعَلَ صَلَاتَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا خَصَّنَا بِهِ مِنْ وَلَايَتِكُمْ تِيبًا لِخَلْقَنَا أَوْ خُلْقَنَا وَطَهَارَةً لِأَنفُسِنَا وَتَذْكِيَةً لَنَا. It's very famous parts of the Diyara Jama'a. We have that sending salutation to Noble Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny, it is, and your guardianship and your wilaya is actually a reason for having nice treatment with other people. Of course, it has some different, you know, recitation, but according to one recitation, we can have it in this way. It is a reason for having nice treatment and nice behavior with other people.
So you mean we learn manners and ethics?
Exactly.
Or is
mannerism.
It, right. Is that what we get from reciting these salawats?
Exactly. By reciting this salawat, we have good mannerism.
Okay. We get that as a blessing, as a gift.
Yeah, as a blessing, yeah, exactly. I want to say that the effect of these prayers, the effect of this salutation, have to indicate itself into your behavior. It is not only verbal,
Right.
Okay. وَتَزْكِيَةً لَنَا وَكَفَّارَةً لِذِنُوبَنَا. It is a reason for our purification, and it is kind of compensation for our sins. You know, this verbal salutation, it is kind of introduction for having a kind of purification in your soul and to have nice treatment with other people and to have kind of mannerism with people.
So we can say that these salutations, the rewards of them are not only seen in the hereafter. They can also be seen in this world.
Exactly.
So the question is then, if a non-Muslim or a non-Shia Muslim or a disbelieving Shia Muslim, anyway, somebody who is not religious, also sends these salutations upon the Prophet and upon his household, will he also be rewarded in the hereafter? Will he get any reward at all, or will he just be perhaps ignored?
Actually, it has some influence on that individual. Okay, for sure it has some impact on that individual.
Impact how?
Spiritually speaking, if you, by any religion, even if you are atheist, you have no religion, but if you send some salutation and you try to establish your emotional and spiritual connection with Noble Prophet Muhammad, we have these kind of cases. Some people, for example, who had no religion, and maybe, for example, if from any other religion, they sent some kind of respect to Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay?
Right.
They just want to, I don't know, intermingle with those who are mourners of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and they pay respect to Imam al-Hussein.
They respect the Imam al-Hussein, they respect the personality, and they show respect.
Exactly. And because of that, they receive some kind of blessing. It has some spiritual impact on them. Still it has. But talking about the reward in Day of Judgment is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to reward them in the Day of Judgment.
Now, what if one was a tyrant, a zalim or a tawud, but they also, for example, love the Prophet, and so they send salutations upon the Prophet and perhaps even upon his family? Now, we said that this act of sending salutations, it is a sort of tazkiyah, sort of a purification for the soul. Mm-hmm. Would that also work for them, for these tyrants who do bad deeds, but then at night, perhaps, or always they revere and respect the Prophet?
As I mentioned, if the, you know, the impacts of the salutation and peace to the Noble Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny indicate itself in the behavior of that transgressor, okay, if he changed his behavior, it shows it has some impact on them. But if he still continue doing this kind of transgression and, you know, tyrannical action, it shows that it has no impact on that individual. Because what matters is your behavior. What matters is what you're doing. Okay, your worships toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your behavior with other fellow human being.
Of course.
And this is a criterion here.
We also have the whole la yuta'Allah haythu yu'asa, right?
Yes.
You cannot worship Allah and get closer to Allah from the same place or from a position of disobeying Allah.
Exactly.
So I cannot steal money from people and then go and donate it to charity.
Exactly. What matters, I need to emphasize this point, and I ask my dear listeners to pay attention to this issue, that what matters is ta'atullah, as you mentioned. Obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you have thousands of visitation of Imam al-Hussein, you know, tie yourself to the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein. But still, if you do not obey Imam al-Hussein, it is worthless.
Exactly. And on that note, we will end today's program because we are out of time. I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and sharing with us his knowledge.
My pleasure.
And I also thank you, the dear listeners, for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. This is a part of political divine will of the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini, in the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. His Holiness Muhammad and Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny has said, I leave among you the Thaghalain, the Book of Allah, and my Itra. Verily, they will be inseparable from each other until they join up with me at the pool of Kauthar. To Allah belongs all praises and thanks, and hallowed be Thou, O Allah. Bless Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household, who are manifestations of Thy beauty and magnanimity and the treasures of secrets of Thy book, which crystallizes Thy oneness through all Thy glorious names, even the Supreme One that no one knows other than Thee. Curse be upon those belonging to the root of evil tree that transgressed upon them the Prophet and his progeny.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the performance of obligation. In one of his speeches, he mentions that if we perform the duty that God, the blessed and exalted, has made incumbent on us, we should not be afraid of the possibility of being defeated. In this part of his speech, he's referring to what we need to perform. We need to do what it's been given to us. We need to perform what is our duty. We need to do our job. And if we are doing our job, then no matter what is the result, we must perform our duty in any case. And we should not be careful or looking at the results, because the results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me just give a simple example that if in the store, if someone is working in a store and there is some inventory, some people are working in the stock room and they have to process the stock so that it can go to the floor. It can get ready for the sale and go to the floor. The people in the stockroom, they have to perform their duty. They should not think about the sale of the stock. They should not be worried about how to display the things on the floor, because their duty is to just process the goods or the stock that has come in the stockroom. And when the goods are going to the floor for the sale, when they're displayed for the sale, that is another thing. That is not in the hands of the one who is processing it. So if they start thinking about the sale, for example, we had 10% sale, so let's process 10% of the goods. And tomorrow, on the basis of yesterday, if they also like process in the next day 10% of the goods, and if they got more customers, what if they got more customers the next day and they had 50% of sale? Therefore, they wouldn't have enough stock to put on the floor. Therefore, the people who are in the stock room, the duty which has been given to them is to just process the goods, to put the tags on, I don't know, to put the price tags on, and then to make it ready for going to the floor and being displayed on the floor, no matter how much sale was there on that day or the next day or that week. So therefore, similarly in our life, Allah has given us some obligations to perform. There are some duties that we need to perform.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, October 9th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And we congratulate everyone on the start of Unity Week. For your information, dear listeners, the Unity Week starts from the 12th and ends on the 17th of the Islamic month of Rabiul Awwal. It was Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, who named this period as the Unity Week to unite Sunni and Shia Muslims. The Sunnis believe that the 12th of this month is the birthday of Prophet Muhammad, while Shias maintain that the Prophet was born on the 17th of the month of Rabiul Awwal. Congratulations again. Stay with us, please. This is a great program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving electronic QSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rafan Ahmad from India, Kirsten Ivanaj from Italy, and Don Glaka from the US. Kirsten, Rafan, and Don, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And here I do send my appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. First of all, Ivan A. Zeleny, one of our old and regular listeners from Russia, has sent us an email. Anand Mohan Bain, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. We've received an email from Austria from Harald Seuss, and here we have another email from Italy from one of our regular listeners, Dario Gabrielli. And the last but not the least is an email from the United States from Mohammed Haku. Many thanks for being with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received an email from Ivan A. Zeleny from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners. Let's see what Ivan says. Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am a Russian listener of your station, and I'm glad to have been able to listen to your programs once again and sending you my reception report. I could hear Holy Quran recitation as well as your male announcer speaking, followed by a piece of nasheed. If this report is correct, please send me your QSL card or EQSL or verification letter. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and of course, IRIB English Radio. To you, Ivan A. Zeleny from Russia, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Warm gratitude to you for your staunch support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. We wish you luck, and of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification. As you know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio at the time of pandemic is not possible. So for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card as a verification. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, thank you again for this email. And from India, we've received an email from Anand Mohan Bain, one of our old and regular listeners. Anand says, hello, I listened to many letters from listeners in today's listeners' special program. These days, the reception quality of your program is very bad. Those Indian listeners of your station who can listen into your broadcasts well are very lucky. I tried listening to the program on 6 radios and none of them sounded good.